I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, nationally syndicated across the country on the Biz Talk Radio Network and coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio WYBC and 1490 AM WGCH Greenwich. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business along with the business of politics and sports. The death of an iconic American institution. Sears files for bankruptcy as liquidation next. We'll get answers tonight on Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Mark Cohen is Director of Retail Studies at the Columbia University Graduate School of Business, where he teaches courses in retailing leadership and fundamentals, which perhaps Sears Chairman Eddie Lampert should have taken. Mark was CEO of Sears Canada, President of Soft Lines of Sears Roebuck & Company, CEO of Bradley's Department Stores, held major management positions with Abraham & Strauss, The Gap, Lord & Taylor, Mervyn's, and Goldsmith's Department Stores. And he's been on with us before. Welcome back, Mark.
Good to talk with you.
I got to, before we I turn it over to you, I just got to say a little bit of how personal this is to my family. My dad worked there for 35 years at Allstate. And so we watched basically a slow decline of Sears while Allstate went through the roof successfully. I worked for a while for Dean Witter after Sears bought them when they tried the financial network strategy. My right now, my father, we have found, has a insurance benefit for being an executive at Allstate that actually is worth $750,000. Allstate holds the insurance, so that's secure, but the premium is paid by Sears. So we have a chance of basically losing that policy if Sears doesn't pay the next premium payment, which is in February. I bought some stock in Sears at $136 because I believe this guy was the next Buffett, and I'm a huge Buffett guy, and I have now my stock is now at 56 cents, and I'm waiting for it to go to zero. So we have a lot sort of emotionally involved in this country. In 2016, sorry, you said Sears was basically going to die. You have been proven to be correct. Is Sears dead?
Well, Sears, in a manner of speaking, died the day that Lampert bought it and merged it with Kmart because it was in a period of decline. It had been in decline for about 5 years. Arthur Martinez left in 1999-2000. It was the company's best year in its history. He handed the keys over to a guy named Alan Lacy, who really did not know what to do. He didn't kill the company, but he certainly took it nowhere. He frittered away all that forward momentum. And after 5 years of really incompetent management, he did a deal with Eddie Lampert's newly emergent Kmart. He bought 51 stores for $605 million in cash to be used to roll out a strategy that he had come up with called Sears Grand, which was a failure. Nonetheless, Lampert turned around with the extraordinary stock price that cash caused. The street went crazy when they saw that transaction, and the Kmart stock went through the roof. He took the inflated stock price of Kmart and that cash and turned around and bought Sears Roebuck. And, of course, immediately merged it with Kmart. So that in and of itself wasn't all that apocryphal, but from day one, he took the view that he knew how to run a retail business better than anyone else on the face of the earth, and he was going to follow his own path. And that path has led us to is the company's filing for bankruptcy.
Do you should Sears die?
Well, Sears should never have been in this position, but Sears, I believe, is essentially dead. I think the company may come out of the bankruptcy newly reorganized, but it'll just crater once again, and eventually, within a year or so, go back into a restructure that will result in liquidation. Because the filing does nothing to address the fundamental void that this company has been suffering from and struggling with for the last 13 years, which is essentially, first, no leadership, no strategic direction. Then, of course, Lampert has sold off almost all of the important assets of the company, so there's really nothing there any longer.
One of the things, as you pointed out in that article now several years ago, that the dirty little secret was that Lampert really had no plan. He used Sears as an ATM, you called it. And all along, people thought that he was bringing some sort of Buffett-tology brilliance to this. As you remember, Buffett bought Berkshire, which was a textile company that died, and turned that into what it was. And I thought he was going to do that with Sears.
Well, you know, he put somebody into Kmart who slashed the daylights out of their expense and capital budgets. And the street, you know, went crazy and started talking about him as the next Warren Buffett. When, of course, the guy he put in the seat was a guy named Julian Day, and he was just sawing the legs off Kmart. Then at Sears, he did the same thing. And, of course, what did he do with all this free cash flow that he was harvesting from expense cuts and capital expense budgets? He put it into derivatives through ESL, which is his hedge fund complex. Again, the street went crazy. They had visions of grandeur here. You know, this was the next Warren Buffett. Of course, about a year and a half downstream after the merger, the business started to head downward because that's, you know, the law of gravity is irrefutable. And so sales started to decline, margins started to decline, customers started to abandon the store. And what did Lampert start doing? He started selling its principal assets, you know, its best stores, both in the U.S. and Canada. After all, isn't that the way you remediate a business problem, by selling your most important and productive assets? So, okay, he viewed these as superfluous, and what did he do? He dividended out the cash to shareholders rather than what normal companies do, which is reinvest in the business itself.
And of which he was one of the major shareholders.
Of course. So this is my characterization of him as a human, as using the company as an ATM machine, because he was literally peeling assets off and taking, his share of the proceeds, putting them in his own pocket.
But he had no plan?
Well, I'm told...
What should have happened?
Well, I'm told that early on in that first year or two, he actually did think that the businesses could be prosperous, managing their affairs his way. I mean, he supposedly really believed that this was possible, this was likely, this was going to happen. And he's been in denial ever since, of course, because it's never happened. And he's used a whole decade worth of excuses to assign blame for the fact that none of this success has made itself apparent. You know, he blamed the recession. He blamed the presence of Amazon. He blamed the unwarranted price warring that goes on in retail. He's even been so off base as to blame the company's travails on its $4.7 billion pension fund obligation.
Yeah.
As if he just discovered that the company owes 100,000 retirees that kind of money for the fact that they spent their entire adult lives slaving away as employees of Sears.
And that, by the way, we should mention there are 68,000 employees right now, and the average wages are $10.75 an hour. So that's a lot sadder than if my dad loses a benefit, of that money. But that's unfortunately, the reality. On the plus side of this, though, and we're going to get to all the reign of error by Lampert, but on the plus side, because you mentioned the pension, he kept Sears alive. He put $4.5 billion into the pension, and he seemed to always be saying this was a long-term fix. He didn't do a hedge fund flip or anything. Is that because he was delusional?
Well, I've accused him, much to the discomfort of his PR flacks, who've come after me but gotten nowhere.
Uh-huh.
I've accused him of being either delusional, disingenuous, or downright dishonest, or some combination.
Maybe all three, yeah.
Yeah, because he didn't flip this. He seemingly made no attempt to do that. He did go on this asset strip path that resulted in the complete destruction of Sears Canada and what will result in the destruction of the company in the U.S. He was putting money back into the business, but not out of the goodness of his heart. He was lending the company money collateralized against principal assets that he had a first lien against in a bankruptcy. So let's not cry for Eddie. He wasn't being charitable here. At the end of the day, he must have thought that he was somehow going to pull this rabbit out of a hat.
Yeah.
Although there is absolutely no evidence that that ever could have happened or was happening. You know, he described this company early on as in the manner in which he thought it would become a new Apple. He actually used words like that. I don't know. You got to be pretty crazy to conflate Sears Roebuck or Sears and Kmart with Apple, but that was his headset.
This is Talk with Jim Campbell of the Biz Talk Radio Network, 350 stations around the country. Go to biztalkradio.com, find the station closest to you, listen over the Internet, access our podcast. We're going to talk more on the Eddie Lampert reign of error in the next segment.
Being a business owner or entrepreneur can feel lonely. Unless your friends have walked the same path, they just don't understand your passion. How many times have you been asked, when are you going to get a real job? And when you finally do make it big, all of a sudden the doubters tell you they always knew you would. Does this sound familiar? You see, at BizBot, we understand the road you're on because we're on the same path. That's why we created a club just for you. Meet other people on the same path you're on and get content that will help you grow your business. All for only $49.95 a year. And if you join today, you can get your first 30 days free with promo code RADIO. This is a limited time offer, so try it for free, and who knows, you might be able to help other members. Simply go to bizvod.com and enter promo code RADIO.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam, for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
Attention investors, respected names in the financial services industry are not evaluating if there will be a significant market downturn, but when. Higher interest rates and prospects of a trade war suggest the stock market is headed into a perilous direction. Subprime mortgages, which are back, could potentially devastate the real estate market, as they did before. And with stocks simply overdue for a fall after this second longest bull run in history, even bullish analysts are recognizing these indicators that equities are in big trouble and have projected stock market losses up to 40%. You can protect your IRA or 401k for maximum safety and opportunity with physical gold and silver, as they are assets that remain genuine stores of value no matter what's happening in the marketplace. Call Augusta Precious Metals today at 855-858-5806. That's 855-858-5806 to get your free guide to precious metals investing.
Call Augusta Precious Metals today at 855-858-5806. That's 855-858-5806.
Here's important new information from the Diabetes Solution Center for you, a family member, or a loved one suffering with diabetes. If you have lost your provider, or if you need a provider for diabetic supplies, you may qualify to receive your diabetic testing supplies now with little or no out-of-pocket cost, regardless of your age. All you need is Medicare or private insurance to be potentially eligible. Call the Diabetes Solution Center right now for details. Just takes a couple of minutes. Our friendly, knowledgeable agents will give you free, no-obligation information, handle all the insurance paperwork, and make sure your supplies are delivered directly to your door for free.
Call U.S. Medical Supply 24 hours a day. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. Call right now. 800-597-9323.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
And we are back with former Sears Canada CEO Mark Cohen. We were talking about Eddie Lampert. On that plus side that we're talking about, which you sort of just did a pretty good job of debunking, what about Seritage? He taking the real estate assets and first, getting the best ones into a REIT, and then taking the stores that were going out and getting double the rate of rent by putting, you know, higher level productivity stores in there. Did that side work?
Well, it remains to be seen whether Seritage is going to be a successful endeavor or not. Okay. When all is said and done. But taking 223 stores, which had throughout their economic lifetime paid little or no rent,
yeah,
selling them into an unrelated related entity that he's a principal shareholder of,
mm-hmm,
causing those stores to now pay rent, is about as egregious a move as you can get. The rationale being that these stores were underutilized assets, which, mm-hmm, is true, except the benefit accrued to Seritage, not to Sears. Although they did get, the company did get the cash proceeds from the sale,
mm-hmm,
the cash went into keeping the lights on at Sears, since the company was essentially financially insolvent years ago and could only remain viable with this infusion that was going on. So this is like, stripping the deck from the superstructure down to the gunnels, and eventually you get to a point where you're right at the waterline, and the water starts to pour in, and then what?
Do you take Kmart out of bankruptcy, and then you merge it with Sears, both companies in decline in their niches. Is that doubling down on disaster, or was there ever any logic to it?
Well, there was never any logic to it. I think the logic was that he could do it, and he had the currency with which to do it, and the currency came, as I said earlier, from Alan Lacy's ridiculous investment in Kmart real estate.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Lacy bought 51 stores, and Nardelli from Home Depot bought 15 stores. Lacy spent $605 million. Nardelli spent $75 million. At least Nardelli was buying locations that filled out his Home Depot portfolio geographically.
By the way, those 51 stores for $600, the entire Sears enterprise market value today, I checked, is $61 million.
Right, exactly.
He's destroyed. Sears was worth at one point, it's got to be at least $30 billion or something. So,
well, I think Kmart was on its last leg,
yeah,
when Lampert took it out of bankruptcy, and it could have been propped up in a conventional way, in a conservative way, but it had gone through several decades of lapses in leadership. The last CEO of any consequence at Kmart had tried to pull off a price war with Walmart, which is what put them in bankruptcy. You know, this is like the stupidest thing on the face of the earth. Let's go outprice Walmart. There's exactly no one on the face of the earth who's pulled that one off. He bet the ranch and he lost. So the company goes into 11 and limps along. Lampert's a major creditor, and seizes the company by virtue of his credit position, takes it into 11, takes it out, and, you know, as you know, the creditors become the new stakeholders by way of new equity. So he could have made a go of it if he had attempted to remediate Kmart's issues.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, all he did was slash and burn Kmart, and then he did the same thing at Sears.
I think
Sears was in a fundamentally better place at the time than Kmart.
Yeah, indeed. Okay. Let me ask this. So there are those that say that it was a brilliant retail real estate play, and that at the time Sears Kmart was worth $14 billion or something market value, and the feeling on the street was there was real estate value underlying all that worth $16 billion. In other words, more than the entire enterprise. What happened with that?
Well, you know, this whole theory of real estate valuation is on thin ice unless there are buyers on the other side of the conversation.
And also, so, the entities that were in that real estate were all failing.
Well,
it's kind of a lie, you know. I'm going to make money on all this real estate, but all the people that are paying rent are all going out of business.
Well, you know, if you've got a portfolio of almost 900 stores, and there are 200 that are or 300 that are really valuable, and represent assets that people will pay a premium for, that's one thing. But there's another 600 that are essentially worthless because nobody's going to buy them.
Yeah.
These are the stores that reside in B and C malls that he's closed a lot of and that will forever be vacant until someone bulldozes the mall out and turns it into a parking lot.
All right, let's talk product development or product, whatever you want to, whatever wording you want to. He did try a lot of things. There was a Sears Grand. There was a Sears Essentials. He had hardware standalone stores. He bought Land's End. There was Sears Canada. And then, of course, his big strategy was this web loyalty stuff, which, by the way, never got more beyond 12% of sales. But why did all of those fail? And would those have been good enough if they'd been executed to keep things alive?
Well, Sears Grand predates Lampert. This is a Lacy construct.
Okay.
Sears Essentials, I think, is Lampert. The hardware stores were being rolled out to some degree under Martinez. Sears Canada was always a 50-year-old standalone business that was a partnership between Sears Roebuck and Simpsons in Canada. These various platforms had a history of a variety of performances, from successful to less so. All of this effort hinges on leadership and perseverance. You have to have people in the chairs who believe in the idea and will ride it out from inception to success. And success is never prompt in retail. You know, the going-in thesis was we ought to be able to compete with these people. Well, okay, if you buy that, then at least you better be able to put on the table a food presentation that's competitive, which, of course, never happened. You know, if you just look, who's going to buy a container of milk from Sears Roebuck unless there's some compelling reason?
A diehard battery with it.
That's it exactly. I'll tell you a funny story because in Canada I was being pressured to support Sears Grand. Lacey wanted me to open something there to help legitimize the idea. This is the genesis of my hostility about what he was doing with Lampert. So I had a very capable group of folks, and we went down and looked at the store in suburban Chicago. We looked at one in Salt Lake City. We looked at the numbers because we had access to all the numbers. He's telling his board that everything's fine. This strategy, this prototype is on plan. And I'm saying to him privately, what are you, nuts? This is completely catastrophe. And so we go to the Salt Lake City store in a power center, and it's got a hardware department that isn't even competitive with the Lowe's across the parking lot. You would think it would have an overpowering assortment of hardware. And it's got a tiny little kids department. Now, if you know anything about Salt Lake, where family sizes are 2X the rest of the United States, you know that this is not only an opportunity, it's an imperative. And here's a new Sears strategy with almost an afterthought of a kids department. So I had to say, and I said it to him at the time, what are you thinking about, and who's making these decisions? Because they make no sense. And, of course, the thing fell apart at the seams.
All right, we're going to be back. We apparently need more time on Eddie Lampert. I thought we could do it in a segment, but there's almost an unlimited supply. So hang with us.
Time changes everything. For me, becoming a single father of two young kids, it changed my ability to use my timeshare. The frustration of not being able to use it was compounded by annual maintenance fees that nearly tripled over a three-year period. I was desperate to get out. After searching online for sell my timeshare or get out of my timeshare, it just looked like one scam after another. I needed a real, permanent, and legitimate way to get out of this for good. I'm Brandon Reed, the founder of Timeshare Exit Team. We will get you out of the timeshare you can't use or can't afford anymore. We get people out safely, legally, and permanently. We are more successful because we have more solutions. Schedule a free consultation to review your ownership situation and find the best strategy for you. If we can't get you out, we will give you a full refund. Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Call 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112.
Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
You love your car, and so does CarChecks. We're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau and have been helping people avoid spending a fortune in costly car repair bills for almost 20 years. For about $2.50 a day, you get the peace of mind in knowing that your expensive repair bills may be covered by a vehicle protection plan. Think about if your air conditioner or the transmission goes out. That could cost you a few $1,000s. Or you can get protected with CarChecks and pay only a standard deductible. For about $2.50 a day, you can make sure you don't get stuck with the bill for covered repairs. Keep your car in tip-top shape. For a completely free quote, call CarChecks now at 800-958-5207. 800-958-5207. That's 800-958-5207. Or visit getprotected.com. That's getprotected.com.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 immediately. That's 800-557-6095. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-557-6095. That's 800-557-6095. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national health care alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Call the CPAP hotline now. 800-525-8891. 800-525-8891. That's 800-525-8891. Copays and deductible supply. Supplies are replaced in accordance with Medicare guidelines.
Attention, business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
We're back with Director of Retail Studies, Columbia Graduate School of Business, Mark Cohen. One other thing on the development side, he did seem to say the Sears loyalty, you know, program was going to be the whole key to the turnaround and build this online strategy. Why didn't that work?
He's got this albatross that hangs around the company's neck, which is this network of dark, dirty, dingy, poorly stocked, poorly managed stores. So he's trying to express himself by moving into a more contemporary channel, you know, the omni-channel world of retail, when the legacy business is an embarrassment. And so he behaved as if the customer would grant him the right to do business on the Internet without regard to the way the stores are falling apart.
Interesting.
And, which makes no sense. Just no sense. I don't know how he convinced himself that this was going to be viable. And, of course, the performance of this new age way that he described over a period of years was absent. There was no manifestation ever of any success here.
Can you run, first of all, can a non-merchant run a retailer? Secondly, can you be the CEO and be in Florida to a company that's got, you know, 2,000 stores and the headquarters in the Chicago area? Does that hold together?
You can't manage an enterprise that involves an enormous amount of interpersonal engagement long distance. You know, there is a belief on the part of some, certainly in the executive search business, that an athlete in one field or a star in one area of endeavor can be a star in another. Except it just happens to almost never work.
Didn't work at JCPenney, did it?
Didn't work at JCPenney. It certainly didn't work at Home Depot. It didn't work in the case of Sears Holdings. And so the imperative for a control shareholder like Lampert should have been to hire a capable, competent team of people to manage the business. He did none of that. All of the folks that he anointed were puppets. And if they did have any skill, they never were given any authority to act on their skill. So this man behind the curtain pulling the levers from, you know, his yacht somewhere or his estate in Florida, just doesn't work.
He never allowed the management team to stay in place either, and he slashed the ad budget, and he broke the company into 30 silos. What was that all about?
Well, I think This guy seemed to have had a theory that if he created a Game of Thrones environment with an enormous amount of overt internal competition, business groups pitted against each other for capital and for operating expense, he would somehow see success. Of course, you know, internal competition is one thing, GE style. It has worked in the past. But it's got to be really carefully managed, or what you get is internecine warfare and destructive behavior. And here are these less than capable people killing each other as opposed to trying to go after the competition.
Okay, so we've just gone through management 101 failures. What about conflict of interest? You have ESL, which is his hedge fund holding company, and he's the number one shareholder, the number one creditor. He owns some of the best assets. It's hard to see if his interests were aligned with the shareholders of the Sears stock or what.
Well, his interests were aligned with himself, with his own interests as a shareholder. Everyone else be damned. And you would think, because conflict of interest is not a new idea or new issue, you would think that there would be a constant modicum of oversight on the part of the board. Which has a fiduciary responsibility to protect all shareholder interests, not just the principal shareholder. So you'd think the board would have acted as some kind of a barrier, but in fact, it's only just now that they found their backbones And it's only because Lampert's last, seemingly last act as an independent operator in offering up this restructure plan in which he was going to get rid of this $135 million note by buying Kenmore, buying another tranche of real estate, taking the cash into the company, paying off the note, putting some cash on the balance sheet so vendors would continue to ship, and then retiring as much as $1 billion of the company's debt. And whose debt was he going to retire? His own. So I can just imagine.
I was wondering what the logic was of why he's going to put $300 million bucks more into it.
Well, you know, there's I guess there's a saying, and I don't know who to ascribe it to on the street, that says, bears make money and bulls make money and pigs get slaughtered. He could have raised $135 million by buying or lending the company the money against a handful of stores. Instead, he went for the whole enchilada. The board seemingly sought outside counsel for advice, and I can just imagine outside counsel saying, ladies and gentlemen, if you approve this incredibly egregious next step on the part of Lampert, you will be in litigation for the rest of your natural lives.
Interesting. Lampert, between 2006 and 2017, spent $4 billion on capital expenditures. That's 1% of revenues. Competition was 4%. That's four times factor. Sears spent $6 billion on share buybacks, more than their capital expenditures. Target, $23 billion on stock buybacks, but $32 billion in capital. If he had normalized capital expenditures, would Sears have been all right?
Sears would look a whole lot better than it does today, but once again, there's been no leadership at Sears. So it's one thing to refurbish your stores and keep, you know, the lights that have burned out shining brightly.
But if you have no management. Yeah.
But no management, no leadership, no strategic direction, no pathway towards success, it's all for naught. At some point, you got to keep the air conditioning plants working and the escalators running.
Were they that bad inside?
Yep. I think in the last few years, the only way Sears stores received any capital is when they were essentially in danger of being closed.
I want to, for now, a little bit, and maybe take some off of Eddie, total 100%. How great Sears used to be. They were an innovator in many ways. They led the demographics out into the suburbs after the World War II, when everybody came back, and started off with the catalog business, developed Allstate Insurance. It was maybe 80% of middle America started their first purchases and their first homes in this company at Sears. And that's really been going down my whole life growing up when my dad was at Allstate, long, long before before Ed came in there. And then they diversified in a big way into retail financial services, Coldwell Banker, Dean Witter, and people said that took their eye off the ball. I mean, has Sears been dying for 50, 60 years?
Well, the company, like many big legacy companies, has gone through cycles of brilliance and episodes of what you can only describe as stupidity.
Okay.
They were brilliant in expanding this catalog to the entire North American continent. It brought access to goods in partnership with the U.S. postal system, where rural, semi-rural customers had no access. Then, to your point, post-World War II, the company became the one of the principal shopping center developers in following the path of the U.S. Interstate Highway System and underwriting these shopping malls that were being built.
Mm-hmm.
Hand in glove with the migration of newly discharged servicemen moving into these new suburbs, trying to catch up on their lives, Sears offered them a proprietary credit card, which enabled them to buy appliances and furniture and clothing for their kids, things which they never would have had enough cash to be able to engage in. So give Sears credit for riding the demographics of the day, the geopolitical opportunities that were out there to a fault. They became the biggest retailer in the world.
And by the way, Mark, one of the first companies to give employees stock options.
Stock options, bonus, profit sharing.
Yes.
I mean, this is a very
10% discount on, because we used to get that at Allstate.
Listen, this is a very progressive organization
yes.
that grew to become a mighty organization, but
Something happened.
Well, you know, large legacy businesses migrate from brilliant to stupid.
To bureaucratic.
And they become inwardly focused, and they lose sight of the opportunity that competitors take advantage of. You know, Sears looked down its nose at these big box players like Home Depot as being irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm told that at one point the two founders of Home Depot showed up hat in hand looking for Sears to invest in them, and Sears treated them like they were dirt, turned them away.
Wow.
You know, there was, and while I was in Chicago, I got a taste of some of this old-style hubris, or you could call it old-style arrogance. These were the original Sears men who believed that they knew all the answers, and for a while they did. A
lot of arrogance.
But then, you know, these large legacy businesses are very prone to this kind of damage. And this investment in a financial supermarket strategy could have been successful were it not for the fact that all the cash that those businesses required was being siphoned off from the retail business.
Exactly right, 100%. And they did a very poor job of executing.
That's right.
And that's, you know, you can have brilliant strategy without execution. We're coming back with our final segment with Mark Cohen.
It may have been a messy divorce that suddenly cut your income in half, but not your bills. It might have been an injury or illness or your boss just cutting back your hours. It doesn't really matter how you got in over your head. It only matters that you are and that we're here to help. If you've got over $10,000 in credit card debt and you can't ever see breaking free, then call Action Debt and do it now. Being in over your head is a vicious cycle. One day late, they charge you a late fee. Miss a payment, they double your rate. You just don't think it's fair and neither do we. This is not bankruptcy or just a simple rate reduction plan. We fight for you using our proven experience in the insider programs that credit card companies try to hide. If you owe at least $10,000 to the credit card companies, you owe it to yourself to call Action Debt at 800-384-7099. Just because you got in over your head doesn't mean you have to stay there forever. Call 800-384-7099 today and we can be on your side tomorrow. 800-384-7099. 800-384-7099.
Biz Talk News wants to feature your business as part of our Discovery feature, which highlights businesses that are not yet known nationally, but offer products or services that benefit Biz TV viewers. Available in over 40 markets on broadcast TV and online via BizTVClub.com. Biz TV wants to help get the word out about your business. If you're interested in having your business featured on a future episode of Biz Talk Discovery, email us at discovery@BizTV.com.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp. Get started with your idea. Call for free information.
Call 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945.
Does your water stain and damage your fixtures? Does it smell or taste bad? Are you worried about what's in your water? Water quality should not be painful and worrisome. Get HydroCare Water Systems from Wave Home Solutions with the most advanced purification technologies. Call Wave Home Solutions today at 1-888-989-WAVE or go to greathealthywater.com. HydroCare will eliminate lime scale that causes hundreds of dollars in damage to pipes and appliances without using salt. Well water will no longer smell or stain your fixtures. City water will be purified of harmful chlorine, lead, arsenic, and chemicals. Wave Home Solutions provides the cleanest, healthiest water at every faucet. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 1-888-989-WAVE, 1-888-989-WAVE, or go to greathealthywater.com. That's greathealthywater.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
Director of Retail Studies at the Columbia Business School, Mark Cohen, our final national segment here. Where we are now, there's that 134 payment due, and there's a $5.5 billion debt load. $300 million of debtor-in-possession financing has been offered, $300 million from Lampert. What happens next? I guess you've already said liquidation is inevitable.
Well, I really believe it is inevitable, but it doesn't mean necessarily that it is upon us.
Okay.
So there's going to be an attempt to move through the proceeding quickly. Debtor-in-possession says to the trades and all suppliers that they can count on being paid. The battle lines are being drawn as we speak. Creditors, in some cases, will sell their position to vulture investors who behave a lot differently in a bankruptcy proceeding than the original creditors do. The fighting is going to emerge over conflicts of interest. There'll be claims, I'm sure, of fraudulent conveyance. And so the professionals are going to be sharpening their knives and going at each other.
Looking at fees.
The fees.
Who's going to be the CEO?
Well, he's appointed his three most senior executives as an office of the CEO. And who knows who would be bold enough to step in as a CEO.
Yeah.
And have Lampert as his chairman and creditors as his prison guards, if
yeah.
you will.
Because you were saying this key vacuum is always no leadership.
That's right.
So,
I think this gets shoved out of bankruptcy in relatively short order. But then what? Then it continues to track this downward spiral performance, which will lead to yet another financial crisis.
Can Sears be profitable with just 400 stores and whatever that implies on less buying power?
No.
No. Okay. Is there any difference between where Sears is and Toys R Us and Radio Shack type of bankruptcies?
The creditors decided that Toys R Us was worth more as a liquidation play than as an emergent company.
Okay.
So they forced it into liquidation. It has to be endorsed by the bankruptcy judge. And there's been a tremendous amount of bad publicity surrounding that this company disappeared. There's an enormous amount of bad publicity over the liquidation of Sears Canada in Canada.
Was there?
So the bankruptcy judge here in the U.S. may be reticent to endorse a plan to just blow this thing up promptly. So there may very well be a lot of support for getting this thing out as a newly formed company. But to your earlier point, will a smaller version of it be profitable? Well, nothing from an operating point of view will have changed. They still don't have any leadership. They still don't have an operating strategy that makes any sense.
Why Best Buy was supposedly, being obsoleted, and they found a way to have this sort of online presence and a store presence. Why were they successful?
They were the beneficiary of a last man standing when Circuit City went out of business.
Uh-huh.
They frittered away some of that natural momentum when their third-generation CEO spent more time going around the country giving speeches, and then he got involved in a scandal with an associate, and he was fired. But they got the reins back in their hands, and even though they had some missteps by letting their website fail during the holiday season a few years ago and being completely uncompetitive in price against Amazon, they've reinvigorated their stores with assortments that customers want to touch and feel. They've gotten their prices to a point where they are essentially competitive with everybody else in the consumer electronics genre. And they filled their stores with energized young people. I'd say young, that's not necessarily pejorative, but associates who are happy to be there and happy to serve. I mean, my experience in shopping Best Buy in the last year or two is this is a re-energized organization, and they seem to be turning a corner. Now, they have a CEO who comes from the hospitality industry, so he's an exception to the rule. He didn't seem to have any merchandising experience, but he also didn't seem to insinuate himself as Best Buy's lead merchant. I think what he's done is empowered the merchants within to get back in the saddle, and they seem to have done a pretty good job of that.
Interesting. So, you know, life and death, there's a natural life cycle. It's just time for Sears to pass away. Do you think that, someone like yourself who's steeped in the business, could you have saved the company?
Well, I could have saved the company 13 years ago.
And what would you have done fundamentally different besides having leadership in place?
Well,
competent leadership.
I would have picked up the reins that Alan Lacy dropped 5 years earlier and refocused the organization, as I think I did in Canada, on a fundamental winning formula, which is having merchandise that customers really want to buy available both in-store and online in a setting that's really attractive. Stores filled with exciting product, shoulder to shoulder with sales associates who really want to be there.
And you could find the niche between the Amazons and the Walmarts, et cetera, the boutiques?
Sears could never compete down market with Walmart, but Sears could definitely have been a tremendous factor in the emerging online space that Amazon has taken out.
Really?
Because Sears had an enormous array of perfectly viable brands, from the hard lines that we know about, Kenmore, Craftsman, Die Hard, into a whole host of private label products in apparel and accessories that were in and of themselves successful and profitable. And Sears had a reputation which was not fatally damaged 13 years ago.
We're about to finish up. You're great at looking around the corner, obviously, as we've seen. Is there any big major transformation or guy going down or guy going up that you want to throw out there? JCPenney going to survive?
I think JCPenney hangs on by a fingertip. The media is already making statements that are unhealthy because they're talking about this holiday season is make or break for the new CEO. Well, she just started on Monday. Her first consequential decision isn't going to come to bear until maybe next summer. So I don't know whether she can create an optic of success. I don't know that they're going to make it in the mid to longer term. And I would say Macy's has got a long way to go before they adopt a truly viable forward strategy.
And Amazon ruling the world?
Well, Amazon is at the moment unstoppable, but like any other large organization, it's on their back to keep the juggernaut going without sliding backwards or doing something stupid.
All right, we've been speaking with Mark Cohen, who not only looks around the corner, understands his industry, but has helped us get through what is a sad, really event for all of America to have an iconic company like Sears go down and be so fundamentally mismanaged. It is almost a tragedy. I want to thank Mark for coming back. And our next show, by the way, we're going to be looking back at the Clinton investigation, Whitewater, Monica Lewinsky, and the rest with the independent counsel, Ken Starr. Thanks to Columbia Business School, Professor Mark Cohen. Thanks to our national audience for listening. We'll see everybody next week on Business Talk with Jim Campbell.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.